God, you're gracious and we are thankful for your grace. But Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. And Lord, we're thankful now and we are forever grateful for what you are doing, what you have done, what you are getting ready to do. For Lord, we have praised you and you said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, touching and agreeing, you're in the midst. We know you're here because we can feel your presence. Father, we ask of you to manifest yourself among us and in us and through us for your glory. Lord, we don't want our coming to be in vain. So, Father, do what only you can. And what only you will. Lord, I need you as preacher. Need your word. For I acknowledge, Lord, that I'm nothing without you. But as Paul said in Philippians, that I can do all things through Christ, who gives me strength. Father, I decrease and you increase. Less of me and more of you. Have your way. Take my mind and think through it. Take my tongue and speak through it. Take my heart and set it on fire. Lord, give us connection, pulpit and pew. Lord, give us oneness with those who are here in person and those who are watching virtually. Lord, we ask for oneness because Jesus prayed. Make us one, Lord, that the message of his coming will be believed to save souls from everywhere. Thank you for what you have done for New Bethlehem. Lord, as we come to the close of a year, and with hopeful expectation, Father, of entering a new year, we pray that you see us through this Sunday, next Sunday, watch night service. Be with me, be with Dr. Walker. Stand up in us and declare your word. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. Thank you for everything that has transpired, everything that is transpiring now. You're moving and you're working now in Jesus' name. Preaching in the pulpit, praying in the pews, souls will be saved. In Jesus' name. Send your word as you send. rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And we know you'll send your word, and your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. In Jesus' name. In every heart say amen. Come on, give the Lord your best praise. Come on, don't patty cake him this day. Give him your best praise. Come on. Come on, he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Bless him, bless him. Bless him because he has blessed you. Come on, bless him. Come on, you can never bless him more than he has blessed you, but bless him because he has blessed you. We have come into this house, gathered in his name, to worship him. We have come into this house, gathered in his name. Come on, that's it. We have gathered in his name to worship Christ our Lord. Come on, forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget. Concentrate on him and worship him. Come on, lift hands, if you will, holy hands. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Come on. So forget about yourself. So concentrate on him. Come on, worship him. Christ. Come on, we have come into this place. We have worship him. Come on, we have come into this place, gathered in his name. To worship him. Come on, with all you have. We have come gathered in his name to worship us. Come on, worship him. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Look at someone, if you will, and say, message from the manger. Look at another and say, message from the manger. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience. Message from the manger. Amen. That's what we want to talk about. Message from the manger. The first gospel message, according to the Gospel of Luke, was preached by an angel. The angel's message was short, but the content was priceless. The angel of the Lord announced to some shepherds tending their flocks in a field that the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem. His message was, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." The shepherds, after receiving the message, were resolved to see for themselves Jesus. The shepherds tending their flock, they left their sheep and went in search for baby Jesus. Their sheep were their livelihood. Their sheep were their grocery. Their sheep were their financial security. Their sheep's wool was used to make clothing and cloth. All they had was wrapped up in the sheep they were shepherding. But when they heard the news about Jesus, they left all they had to gain all they needed. Brothers and sisters, you have to be willing to give up what you got to gain what you need. For Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, said to his disciples, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul?" What are you willing to give up to see Jesus for yourself? Are you willing to give up creature comforts, cottages, cruises, and cash? Are you willing to give up pleasure, people, positions, and prosperity? The shepherds were willing to give up all they had to gain all they needed. They left their sheep immediately in search for baby Jesus. Several things in the text I see that warrants our attention concerning the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, brothers and sisters, the gospel message preached to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "There you will see a sign." My first point is a sign to you. When the angel spoke of a sign, the angel used a word that generally refers to a supernatural happening from God that cannot be missed. A sign was an indication supernatural ceremony, a wonder, a miracle. The baby Jesus was a sign from God of his kingdom coming into the world, coming to the earth. Jesus is the gift of the king. Jesus the king entered the world as a baby. The angel said, you shall find a babe. A babe, a babe, a babe. The word babe, brephos in Greek, which literally means an infant or newborn child. The fact that Jesus came as a baby and not as an angel reveals his humanity. Jesus came into the world just like you and I came into the world, just like everyone else has come into the world. He did not come as a grown man. He did not come as a middle-aged boy. He did not come as a teenage child. He did not come as an angel. He came just like all of us did. He came as a newborn baby. His conception was supernatural. Matthew 1 verse 20. But his birth was natural. His conception was supernatural in that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and she conceived. His conception was supernatural. His Mary's pregnancy was supernatural. The virgin having a baby is supernatural. Many of us can't conceive it because of how supernatural it is. She was a virgin when she conceived. She was a virgin during her pregnancy. And even after the birth of Jesus, she was still a virgin. Supernatural. His conception was supernatural, but his birth was natural. It denotes his incarnation. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, assumed human form in the person of Jesus Christ and was the God-man. Jesus was God with us in the flesh. He was not half God and half man. He was fully God and fully man. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He was not almost God and a figment of the imagination as man. He was full God, full man, two natures joined in one person. The humanity of Jesus is the theme of the Bible. God has entered into human history in order to give us salvation. That's the message that was given by Isaiah, that she would conceive, a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Same message given by the angel in Matthew chapter 1, that Jesus would come and he would be Emmanuel, God with us. But a sign, a baby, a sign of his humanity, a sign that brought about the fulfillment of prophecy. See, the humanity is important for prophecy of scripture. You read in Genesis 28 verse 14, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That offspring that the Lord spoke of to Jacob is the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Luke chapter 3 verse 34, Jacob is a part of Jesus's genealogy. Prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah, prophecy of God with us in Jesus. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, The messianic prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah said, for unto us a child, not a grown man, not an angel, but a child is born, and to us a son is given. That's where John comes into this sermon. In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us what we didn't deserve. Listen, if you don't shout over anything else, you ought to shout over the fact that God gave you his son to make you his sons and daughters. Thank God that he gave. Prophecy fulfilled. This sign was prophecy fulfilled, but this sign also brought about the preaching of the Savior. Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. He gave him at the right time. It wasn't a moment too early and a moment too late. He gave him right on time. He says the fullness of time, the appointed time that God had it set, etched in heaven to send his son. What happened in Bethlehem was not by accident, but by divine providence. God sent Jesus. He sent him when he needed to send him. According to Paul in Galatians 4 and 5. But then in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. The reason we preach his birth, his life, and his death is because we know that without his birth, there would be no death. And without his death, there would be no salvation. And if we preach any other gospel, we are Antichrist. This prophecy fulfilled preaching of the Savior, but then it's payment for sin. If Jesus had no flesh, he had no blood. And if he had no flesh and blood, he could not shed his blood. He could not die. Without the death of Christ, without the shedding of his blood, there would be no remission of sin. That means that we would be people most miserable, still caught in our sins, awaiting the judgment of God. But I know he came. I know he came. Somebody here can be a witness. I know he came because he changed me from the inside out. I know he came because he walks with me and he talks with me. I know he came because I'm a changed man. I'm not who I used to be. I thank God that he has changed me. And somebody else can be a witness that you know he came because you are not the person you used to be years ago, days ago. You are changed because the Spirit of Christ is within you. He came as a payment for our sin. God required pure blood, and none of us could satisfy, because our blood is tainted by the sin nature of Adam. But thanks be to God that God was his daddy. God is his father. Not some earthly man, you know. I thank God that God is the Lord's father, because he has pure blood, because he did not come from a tainted man. But because he is the Son of God and his blood is pure, he could pay the payment. He came as a ransom for our sin. He said, that's a sign. A baby. a baby. As a sign, a baby. But then he says, not only does the message deal with the sign, but the message deals with the swaddling clothes. In that day, newborn babies were wrapped in strips of cloth to protect them from the harsh elements. Usually, mothers would wrap their arms and legs separately and then wrap the torso until the baby looked like an Egyptian mummy. I can remember when we had the four children that we have, and I would go to the hospitals and be with the wife and stay up there, and I would watch them as they wrap the babies, because they would wrap them tight and they would sleep all night. I said, well, I better wrap them tight because I want to sleep all night. And I would wrap them tight with their arms close to the body. And their legs close to the body, and their torso, and wrapped tight, even around the neck area, wrap them tight. As if they were still in the womb. That's what Mary did for Jesus. She wrapped him tight because she knew her responsibility for this child was to protect him. But the swaddling clothing denotes or reveals Jesus' human helplessness as an infant. That as a human infant, he needed protecting. Just as all infants needed protecting. And swaddling clothing indicated that Mary properly cared for Jesus. She kept him warm from the cold climate. She kept him protected from insects and pests. She kept him even in that stable, that barn that he was born in, and protected him from the roughness of the hay that was laid in the trough for him to lay in. But not only did she protect him from the elements, she protected him from enemies. Because shortly after he was born, Herod got word that the king of the Jews was born. And he called to himself three wise men who were to go search for the king. And he said, when you get word, you come back so I can go and worship him. But Herod didn't want to worship him. Herod was lying. He wanted to kill him. And when the three wise men found Jesus, they worshiped him. But they went in another way. You know, that's what will happen when you come and see Jesus. He'll send you back another way. See, you can come one way, but you'll leave another way. Is there anybody in here can be a witness that you didn't intend to come and sin, but you stumble upon them. And when you saw it for yourself, your life has changed. You are not the same. You came one way and you left another way. They went in a new direction to elude Herod. But Mary and Joseph took Jesus down into Egypt. And then took him into Nazareth, where he was known as a Nazarene. You remember the question Nathan asked. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Bessemer? Can any good thing come out of Birmingham? Can any good thing come out of Pleasant Grove or Hewittown? Can any good thing come out of Helena? Yes, it can. When Jesus is involved, some good can come out of anywhere. Somebody ought to be a witness. They had to protect them. It denotes his human helplessness, his humanity. But then, lastly, the significance of the manger. It was not unusual to find a newborn baby in Bethlehem. It was not unusual to find a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was unusual to find a newborn baby laying in a manger. The fact that Jesus was laid in a manger demonstrates his humility. Think about it, if you will. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born into the world and laid in a manger. The King of God's kingdom, laying in a manger. I don't think none of you understand how significant this is. A newborn baby in a manger. A manger simply means a crib or a place where cattle were fed. In other words, he was laid in a trough. He was laid where they would feed the cows, feed and hay. Newborn Jesus laying in a feed trough. Other kingly infants were laid in the best house in the town with a number of train of attendants in rich, colorful apparel. Here comes Jesus in his humility to destroy the pride which is the root of evil in the souls of men. Paul give us a sneak peek into the ministry of Jesus. He said in Philippians 2:7, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness. He came humble. He didn't come as a king in royal apparel. He didn't have a baby banquet. He didn't even have a shawl that represented kingliness or royalty. All he had was strips of clothing that held his body together. All he had was a crib to hold him up off of the ground and a few horses and donkeys to blow their breath to keep him warm. All he had was Mary and Joseph to protect him from his enemies. Just swaddling clothes, a stable and a manger. He came in the most humblest fashion. He did not grow up looking like a king. He did not grow up living like a king. He did not grow up dressed like a king. He did not eat like a king. He didn't even travel like a king. He didn't even live like a king. He didn't even die like a king. For y'all remember that he came in strips of clothing. And when he left with strips of clothing. He came wrapped in swaddling clothes. But when they got him and arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that they stripped him of his rags. It wasn't good clothing. It just said it stripped him of his rags. And as he was marched from judgment hall to judgment hall, they took his clothes off of him and they beat him 40 lashes minus one. 39 lashes. Thank God for Jesus. They took him from the judgment hall and marched him up the Via Dolorosa. He didn't even die like a king. They put him on an old rugged cross. Thank God for Jesus between two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. And he was mocked by one of the thieves and mocked by the Roman soldiers when they said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." They didn't know what they were saying or doing.
but it was the real sign to celebrate a real king. Do you thank God for Jesus? The reason we praise the Lord in his death, because we praise him in his birth. With no birth, there would be no death. So Christmas means Mass of Christ. It denotes the communion or the Eucharist, which is a celebration of his death on the cross of Calvary. But you can't celebrate him dying until you celebrate him being born. He was born in a lowly manger. He was born to some peasant parents. But thank God for Jesus. He grew up as a poor boy, and he lived as a poor grown man. He only had a few pennies in the treasury, but that's all right. It didn't stop him from going to Calvary. He went to Calvary and hanged on that cross for 6 long hours. He died poor to make us spiritual rich. You ought to high five somebody and say, thank God Jesus died poor to make us spiritually rich. I'm rich in the Lord. I'm rich in his grace. I'm rich in his mercy. I'm rich in his peace. I'm rich in his joy. I'm rich in everything that the Lord can give me. That's why Paul could say that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you're not too mean, why don't you stand on your feet and high five somebody and say, thank God for Jesus, because Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. He's a gift that keeps on giving. Can I get a witness? He's a gift that keeps on giving. Every time I turn around, he's doing something else for me, because he's a gift that keeps right on giving. When I'm low, he picks me up. When I'm out, he brings me in. When I'm down, he pick me up. And when I'm tired and I can't sleep at night, he rocks me to sleep at night. Can I ask y'all my question? And I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah.
He was born in strips, and he died with strips of cloth hanging off of him. His humanity, his human helplessness as an infant, but his humility. Humility is the way. Christ came to show us how to live before his Father. He came to destroy the pride that destroys man. He lived a lowly life. He didn't even draw a lot of attention to himself. But the miracles he did, the messages he preached, drew attention to him. Jesus, Christ's child, born in a stable. Many of us write folks off like that. People with humble beginnings, write them off. They'll never be nothing. Never amount to anything. Born in a stable, wrapped with pieces of cloth. No royal banquet. No angelic choir, no halo of his head. Baby Jesus. That's all. That's all. Baby Jesus. And listen, that's enough. He lived and died so we could live. Listen. Christianity is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. If he lived a lowly life, we are to live lowly lives. Not putting ourselves up, but keeping ourselves humble. Not reaching for everything the world has to offer. But accepting the gifts and the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he supplies all our needs. Not catting after and chasing after the world. But being focused. And committed as he was. He set his face to Jerusalem. Even as a child, he said to his mother, I must be about my father's business. 12 years old. Face toward Calvary. You know, we young, we try to live it up. As if we have a monopoly on time. We try to get back to the Lord later in life after we have spent ourselves. But not Jesus. His whole life, from birth to death, was dedicated to his Father's will. And we are to live, now that we are saved, we are to live our lives dedicated to Jesus. Listen, I don't know if I have another chance to tell you, but let me tell you now. We go out of one year into another and we take for granted that we're going to see years. Many of us have gone beyond 33 years of age. Jesus died at 33. Many of us have surpassed 33 years of age. And we're still putting God on hold. And we'll get back to him. And I know this pandemic is serious. But listen, you're doing everything else. Don't you go into 2022 with God on the back burner. I got to tell y'all, because Doc Walker is going to preach the last sermon, Sunday sermon now. I mean, we're going to have watch night service, but he's going to preach the last Sunday sermon. And let me just tell you, don't go into this year, 2022, like you spent 2021. Don't let fear usher you into another year. With hesitancy and reservation of on how to serve God and how to work for him. Jesus spent all of his life. And he died knowing that his death was coming. He died. He says, if you want life, you got to be willing to die. For his sake. He didn't just say that to say it. He meant every word of it. That you must be willing to die. If you will be his disciple, you must be willing to give it all up. They were willing to give all they had, wrapped up in their sheet, to gain what they needed. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, that means that you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come today. Come now. And make him Lord and Savior of your life by simply believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that he is the Son of God and he died and God raised him from the dead. And confessing him with your mouth. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. You're Savior. You're in control. You have my life protected and my soul preserved. Come today if you're not saved. Secondly, come if you're in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come. Come, the Lord wants to restore you, revive you. Come on, 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 bless you. Say amen, bless you. Say amen, come on. You only have now. This is the day the Lord of the Lord's salvation. Come on. Say amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Salvation. Come on. Restoration. Come on. Come on. Church fellowship and family. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on, come on. Come on, while there's time. Come on. Don't let this day pass. Don't let this opportunity pass. Come on. We have Sharonda Douglas and Ariana Blair. Amen. Christian experience. Amen. And Bria Douglas. All right, we'll give her time to teach her the way. She's 4 years old. And she just walked up with her family. Come on, bless God for these who have come. Amen. Amen. Brother Douglas family. Amen. That means that you too have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you want to unite with the to Bethlehem Baptist Church for your nurturing and your growth and your spiritual maturity. Amen. Listen, we have an orientation. I teach it myself 4 weeks. And the purpose of orientation is to assimilate you in, to let you know what the New Bethlehem Baptist Church is about, what ministries we have, and then to assure you of your salvation, to share with you how to study the Word of God, and why every Christian should be a tither or a giver, and fellowship, the importance of fellowship. So will you all be willing to attend those 4 weeks of class? Amen. All right. They are willing to go through orientation. And so what they have your information, share your information with our clerk. And we will contact you and schedule your orientation. Bless you, man. Beautiful family. Come on. Bless God for this family. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you all for coming. Amen.
That's Brother Noah Franklin. He's rededicating. He's already joined, but he didn't complete his orientation.
All right, Brother Franklin. He's a member. He hadn't completed his orientation, and he want to rededicate. Amen. Anything you want to say? All right. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for his courage to come and to bow in humble submission to you, asking you for forgiveness, guidance, Lord, and strength to live his life for your glory. I pray, Father, that you bring him close to you as he once was. And I pray, Father, that he will spend the rest of his life, Lord, seeking you, willing to give up what he have to gain what he needs. Lord, he needs you most in his life. He needs you, Lord, to take care of him, to watch over him. Lord, he needs you. So, Lord, be his company keeper, caretaker, and caregiver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. All hearts and minds clear. Listen, next Sunday, I've alluded to it already, we are honoring Dr. Walker as Pastor Emeritus. And I've asked in the meeting, but I want to ask those of you who perhaps missed the meeting, I want you to bring some type of love gesture. There will be boxes outside of the door. We will have people here, honorable dignitaries here, to help us bestow upon our beloved, amen, Pastor Emeritus. Amen. I'm just as happy as I can be. And not only his service, but Lady Walker's as well. So we'll celebrate both of you next Sunday. He will preach, and he will close out the year, and I'm excited about that. So y'all be excited with me. Listen, we have a lot of people registered, and we want every last one of them to come. Amen. We want the floor and the balcony full of people so we can celebrate his labor of love. 40 years is a long time. Amen. 40 years is a long time. Amen. And I don't want to shortchange him one. He said this to me, and I'm gonna finish. He said this to me last year, some years, 2 years ago. He said, you know, he called me boy. He said, boy. You know, that's old preacher talk, you know. And he didn't mean any disrespect, but he said, boy, I don't want to be a hair in your way. I said, my God, that's special. And the encouragement that I received from him. So I'm looking forward to next week. Listen, y'all help me make it special for he and his wife. Amen. Bring a love gift. There will be boxes that you can slip it in, whatever God lays on your heart. But it would be all his and all Lady Walker's. It'd be y'all's together, Doc. All right. Amen. All right. Anything else claim our attention? Listen, y'all register for watch night service. And we want to have a wonderful time in watch night service. We may have a group or two here to sing and help us celebrate going out of the old into the new. So, and then we have some preaching. All right. So y'all sign up for watch night service, and then we'll do it even bigger for 2022. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest upon you both now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Amen.
Something good, but we didn't get a chance.